You're listening to CinemaJaw, the greatest movies podcast ever, recorded on location at the Original Mother's Nightclub in Chicago. My name is Matt Kay, and with me is...
Ryan, the movie guy, and this week on CinemaJaw, we close out the summer and take a look to the fall with our fall movie preview.
It's slightly depressing to say goodbye to the summer, but the fall is my favorite season of the entire year. We got pumpkins, Halloween, apple orchards, you know, that sort of thing. The leaves change color. It's awesome.
It is. Football season starts, even though I like baseball more, but it's the whole feeling. Even when you were in college or going back to college, it was always a fun time. And the movies, Matt, the movies. This is when Oscar gold comes out constantly. They wait all year long to put out these great movies at the end of the year.
Yes, as you know, I am a bigger fan of the summer movie fair myself.
We have fought over that a few times.
I'm starting to see the light, Rye. There's some good stuff coming out this fall.
In addition to our fall movie preview, we have reviews of Searching for Sugar Man, documentary out in theaters.
I also caught a documentary, Comic-Con, Episode 4, A Fan's Hope, the new one by Morgan Spurlock.
Can't wait to hear that one. And I also have a DVD review of W.E., the film that is directed by Madonna.
She forgot one of the W's. She was going to make a wrestling documentary, WWE.
Not quite, not quite. In addition to that, our fall movie preview, we will be tackling 15 great fall movies coming out and highlighting some underground hits that we think are going to be hits.
Yeah, we're going to tackle it like Brian Urlacher.
In addition to that, we're going eye for an eye, interested or ignore on The Expendables 2. Plus, we have an unbelievable guest joining us. Donnie Rodriguez from the Woodsugars is going to be coming on. He has been on once before when all the Woodsugars come on, but this time we got Donnie alone, and we get to hear the scoop on the other two Woodsugars.
Yeah, he's going to tell us all their dirty secrets.
Yeah, so it is a jam-packed episode, plus yourself versus Donnie and trivia and a whole lot more. Without further ado, we bring in our guest, Donnie Rodriguez. He's part of the Woodsugars comedy crew. Welcome back to CinemaJaw.
Hey, thank you for having me back. I'm much more confident in my own. I feel like I could break up the group at any point. I've gotten a writing career since the last time I've been on.
That's right, yeah.
So I don't want to brag. You know, do they need me? You know, yes. But, I mean, will they admit it? They, along with expletives, yeah, they would admit stuff about me. But
Now, I'm sure some of the Jawheads might have missed the last time that the Woodsugars were on CinemaJaw.
So tell
the Jawheads, just in case some of the new Jawheads listening, what the Woodsugars is all about, how long you guys have been together as a comedy group.
Cool. So Woodsugars, I like to pretentiously say, is an independent comedy group, as in we've never paid money to Second City, I.O., The Annoyance. And we started in 2007, being not funny for about, what was yesterday? Yeah, so about 4.5 years, not very funny. But now we do films. We had a very successful podcast that we're all masochists in the group. So we decided, yeah, this was working good. Let's cut our ears to spite our career. And also we do a lot of live shows. And like I said, I write for Haha JK, which is an entertainment website by Movies, the Silver Screen's very own Jamie Kennedy. And there's a lot of other comedians who read on that. It's like entertainment news, funny stories, stuff like that.
So. Did you see Jamie Kennedy's documentary film?
Heckler.
Yeah, Heckler.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I turned that on expecting it to be about hecklers, and then it just sort of spins out of control yeah. and becomes a movie about how Jamie Kennedy feels about critics.
Yeah.
What was your take on it? What you don't want to say
pays me money.
He pays you, yeah.
Jamie, if your people's girlfriend, younger nephew is listening, I love you. Thank you for the opportunity. I think Matt's crazy. I think if anything, it's spinned in control to a tangent of you spinning out of control. So well done, Jamie. But please, let's not diss his work like Malibu's Most Wanted or other masterpieces such as that.
Now, another area where the Woodsugars really flourishes yeah. is the YouTube channel that you guys have. And you guys do all these crazy YouTube videos.
Yeah.
Where else can you find some of your videos?
Well, you know, we like to... We realize we're never going to compete with the majority of YouTube groups. So you guys remember a couple months back the whole shit whatever says trend took off or like...
Oh,
and
yeah.
And everybody made a film about shit my...
Chicagoans say.
Shit Chicagoans say, shit drunks say. You know, we don't ever stab at those or anything that people will like, it feels like. Like we do, when we do our personal videos, one of them's called Postpartum Pretension. And it's about an episode of Postpartum. And
it's almost like sketches.
Yeah, it's sketch comedy. It's definitely, I don't. We put it on YouTube because everyone randomly searches on YouTube, but it's definitely not YouTube-esque comedy. Though, when we do series like Ryan and I were talking Bullshitting, which was a sports show shot just at the hilarious. Beautiful Shenanigans, where it was just parody on Chicago Bulls. And however, I like love them, so I sprinkled in so many statistics and just real opinions, but we had to cut it just because it's meant to be a 2-minute funny sports show, and you can't really like real talk anything when it's A, when it's sports, and B, when it's on YouTube.
And speaking of this program bullshitting, there's some exciting news for the Wood Sugars, I understand.
Well, yeah, we us and Chi City Sports, they were so awesome enough. It's a website, third biggest Chicago sports website. I could be getting that wrong. But they're so kindly going to have us back on their website that keeps growing. So look out for more bullshitting. We don't know yet if it's going to be monthly, weekly. Unfortunately, Derrick Rose blew out his everything in his knee, so the Bulls
ACL.
Yeah, Bulls will probably not be as good, but I'm still going to watch them. Though, you know, I don't know if the interest is there. But like I always tell everybody, if there's no audience, Wood Sugars will be there and can keep it going.
You
so.
Know, you're leaving out a really important part of your resume, which is the absolute masterpiece by Wood Sugars, which was the What Is Cinema Jaw video.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, you can see all 191 pounds, 38% body fat of me in that video. I unsolicited wrote it and for you guys. Like, I'm at a point now where I actually just wrote a sketch for a sketch comedy group that I don't even like, and they don't even really like me. Secretly, I won't name names. I pitched it to them, and they're going to shoot it. And, like, with you guys, too, I was like, man, this would make the best commercial
we
podcast.
We don't like you either.
Yeah, we don't like you either. I know. That's the running thread in my career.
No, it turned out really well. Of course, Donnie is constantly looking for what movie to watch, and me and Matt keep bothering him in every segment. It's on our website now, Jawheads.
We're like the angel and devil on his shoulder. He's the star of the video. Yeah, it's at the top of the cinemajaw.com. Check it out.
You know, and people love behind-the-scenes things. We shot that. When you shoot a film, the last thing you need is like, okay, this person needs to be there, this person needs to be there. Like, every person on that shoot had to be somewhere else, and we were all, like, frantically trying to get done. But I think that made magic. I think if we took a day, shot the shit, and cracked open some beers, it probably wouldn't have came out as funny as it did, because then your mind just gets a little lazy. But that was a lot of fun, and any excuse to, like, do something creative or drink, sign me in. And I drink when I watch it now, so, you know, there's that element.
Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Me three. All right. So Donnie from the Wood Sugar, sitting in on the entire episode, tell the Jawheads, where's the best place to find Wood Sugar's material online?
So if you're looking, Cinema Jaw's got you all set with the auditory thing, so I'm going to tell you non-conflicting places for that, so we don't have
you
a conflict.
Plug your podcast. It's fine.
Where I would love people to check us out that not enough people do is our events page on our website, because that's where we do all of our live shows. And we have a brand new sketch review we're going to be doing for a couple of months where it's all honest, real sketches where I call out everything wrong with myself and a couple of people along the way. So the events page at woodsugars.com/events, or our YouTube page is awesome. Vimeo, our more serious stuff, is there, but it's all with Wood Sugars after a backslash, and me at Donnie Rad on Twitter.
Perfect.
Thanks.
So good Donnie, plugs. Good plugs.
Donnie is sitting in the entire Cinema Jaw episode here. He has his 5 films that he is looking forward to coming out this fall, as do me and Matt. So without further ado, we get to Eye for an Eye, Interest or Ignore, and Eye for an Eye is sponsored by
the new 400. I'm wearing their t-shirt today.
You are, and you look good in it, Matt.
That's right. They're very fashionable, right? You know what the best thing about the new 400 is?
Their shirts come in extra large.
That's
only.
Oh, yeah. Ouch.
Ooh, boy. Well
played. If you wash it, it actually gets bigger, too. It's the reverse cotton. Yeah.
But I was going to say, Matt, the best thing about the new 400 is they have a full liquor bar at the concession stand.
That's right. I partake every time I go to the movies, so.
Yeah.
And they have the best prices for first run shows in all of Chicago.
Yep. Check out what's playing at thenew400.com. And we thank them for their support.
Eye for an Eye is Premium Rush with Joseph Gordon-Levitt. In Manhattan, a bike messenger picks up an envelope that attracts the interest of a dirty cop who pursues the cyclist throughout the city. Playing the bike messenger is Joseph Gordon-Levitt. The film also stars Michael Shannon and is directed by David Cope, who last directed 2008's Ghost Town. Matt, interested or ignore on Premium Rush?
Yeah, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, I am absolute huge fan, so interested. That guy's awesome.
Donnie, interested or ignore on Premium Rush?
I hate to give a loud answer or long answer, but I'm going to say interested, and I will explain why. Because that looks like a movie that was made 2 years ago. They shelved it because it looks so bad, as it does in the trailer. And then they thought, oh, shit, he's going to be in that Dark Knight Rises. Why don't we...
You better get that off the shelf.
Yeah, why don't we, well, we put it on the shelf. Wait, this will be his first movie after it. And it looks like it can be the worst movie ever, or the worst movie ever that my girlfriend who has a crush on him would want to see. So I'm in either way.
Well, I do agree with you. It does look bad, and I don't know where they came up with this idea of a bike messenger that could actually carry an entire film. Right. I got to give this one an ignore.
I like the bike messenger idea.
It looks like Enemy of the Hipster State.
Well,
I mean,
like
that's
the bike messenger idea maybe for the first like 20 minutes or even a half hour of the plot line, but it seems like they're really trying to stretch this. Like it's a full-out chase for the entire movie after the bike messenger. I don't know how long you can go with that. If it can stretch a 90-minute film, I don't know.
I guess we're going to find out.
Well, you heard it here. Two interesteds, one ignore for Premium Rush. And there is a new movie in theaters opening up, limited release, that I was able to catch. It is entitled Searching for Sugar Man. Matt, I don't mean to blow your hair back, but get a load of this. Searching for Sugar Man is the best documentary of 2012 and one of the best movies of the year as well.
Wow. My hair is blown back.
Yes. It reminds us that great storytelling can make an amazing story even more amazing. It tells the story of the singer-songwriter Rodriguez. In 1970, he signed a record deal and released two albums in the U.S. that failed to find an audience. Or did it? The film starts off in South Africa with a man named Sugar Man recounting how he first heard of the artist known as Rodriguez and what his music meant not only to him, but the entire country. Part mystery, part discovery, part inspiration, part just hard to believe. The film will amaze you.
Yeah.
This is a must-see film. Ride the Movie Guy's grade, 4 Jaws, a grade of an A.
Is this in theaters?
Yes,
or? Okay.
Limited release in theaters.
Where did you catch it?
You know, I caught it actually. It's playing here at the Century.
Oh, okay. At Century.
Probably be opening up more and more slowly. It premiered over at Sundance. Won
I heard
some
about
audience
it.
Yeah,
awards
that's
there.
Where good movies usually play sometimes. Yeah,
and I am telling you, this is one. It opened up so beautifully. The way they constructed the story here was amazing. It's already an amazing story, but this just makes it that much more fantastic as it's going along. It's just awesome.
Did they find Sugar Man? Well, no, Sugar Man's the subject. So.
Yes, Sugar Man's the subject, but actually the song Rodriguez sings is Sugar Man, one of them. And so they get this idea of searching for Sugar Man, like they're searching for Rodriguez. And, of course, we discover who Rodriguez is in the film. Also, I should mention that the film has all original music by Rodriguez, the artist.
Well, what country was the person in Sugar Man searching for?
Well, it was interesting because a lot of the story takes place with them sort of backtracking before the rise of the internet. So this was obviously, he released the albums in 1970 and 71.
Yeah.
And then nothing really came of his career. Yeah. So really it was the 70s and 80s and early 90s when they were searching for this guy and couldn't find him. Because there was no, like, oh, you just pop in the internet and find out who this guy was.
Just Google him, man.
Right.
But mystery solved.
Right. It was much later as then the prominence of the internet was like, hey, let's start looking for this artist.
Oh, right,
they had heard stories that he had died on stage, that he lit himself on fire. Other stories around the world had it that Rodriguez shot himself in front of a crowd. And I didn't even know who Rodriguez was going into this movie. I was totally blown away by it, and I think you will be, too. You'll love this movie.
Is the music good?
Oh, his music's awesome.
Cool.
It's very Bob Dylan-esque. He's like a storyteller with his music. It's fantastic.
Cool.
Yeah. So definitely check it out. 4 Jaws for Searching for Sugar Man. And a lot of new movies that are going to be jumping out in the theaters, and that's why we decided to do our fall movie preview here. What are we looking forward to? Hopefully tell the Jawheads, here's a few films that may be flying under other people's radars. You're getting a start at this week, Matt.
All right, man.
Talk to me about number 5.
My number five, I think, is worthy at number one, which speaks to how many great movies are coming out this fall. I'm talking about Ben Affleck's upcoming Argo. This just, I mean, I saw the trailer when I went to see Dark Knight. It's Ben Affleck. He proved he can direct with The Town.
Yeah.
And I think this is a true story, so the subject matter is going to be that, you know, because truth is stranger than fiction, it's going to be that much more compelling. And it's about CIA agents posing as a film crew. Come on. I mean, that's pretty cool.
And I believe Ben Affleck's also starring in the movie as well, or at least a small part.
He's got a big old Grizzly Adams beard, you know?
Yeah, there's a lot of facial hair that looks like 70s Bush, what I've seen in the preview on everyone, even the women. I mean, just everyone looks 70s out. I'm excited just for that.
I agree. And I'm interested to see if he can keep this thing rolling with The Town. And he also did Gone Baby Gone. So definitely, I'm looking forward to this one as well.
Yeah, and this is the one, the third time's a charm. It could make or break him, you know?
Yeah.
What do you got sitting at number five? You got something you're interested in?
You know,
in there,
like, I think this one to me is one through five, five through one, however you'd like to do it. So the film Looper, starring the aforementioned Joseph Gordon-Levitt, and Bruce Willis is in it, but more importantly, it's directed by Rian Johnson, who is like my favorite. He did this film, The Brothers Bloom, that like,
oh yeah,
it's my favorite. It's my favorite movie. Like, it's
just did con movies on the show, and I was like, I mean, you gotta see The Brothers Bloom.
The Brothers Bloom is like, the dialogue is rhythmic, and there's callbacks like within it through like you. That's a film you literally have to watch twice to get everything, and I rewatched it for a second time, and I was just blown away on how everything's connected. This guy, it's seamless, so you don't even realize it, unless you're looking for it, like I was. So it's like, why would somebody do that? And this film Looper is about traveling back in time. Joseph Gordon-Levitt's hired as a hitman, and he goes back in time or forward in time, and he kills people that they're a hit on. But he's got a hit on himself, and then you get the whole like time paradox stuff. And I'm not a nerd at all. I know, Matt. I know you speak
nerd. You're
a nerd. But
you're a comedy nerd.
That's true. Yeah.
See.
So
you're a nerd.
But do you like the idea that actually Joseph Gordon-Levitt is playing Bruce Willis, younger version of Bruce Willis?
Right.
Does that work? I'm not positive.
Did you just ruin the whole movie?
No. Well, that's it in the plot.
As long as
synopsis.
He doesn't play 6-year-old Bruce Willis and says he sees dead people, then we're okay. But it's going to be an interesting film. I mean, I've just personally, like, I'm into time travel and like paradox stuff. There's the documentary The Universe on Netflix is great to watch.
Because
it talks, you know, there's
so many. Stephen Hawking?
Well, yeah, that's The Universe Explained. I've been on a universe kick, period. But yeah, there's that three-part with Stephen Hawking.
Have you seen Carl Sagan's stuff, which
I've
is also on?
I've seen that too,
on?
Man.
Oh,
that Netflix,
good.
Yeah. So it's a lot of fun, but I would like see The Brothers Bloom. That movie's just left flawless.
It should also be mentioned that this Rian Johnson did Brick.
Brick, yeah, which is
one of my favorites.
That's a great movie too, but I could see people turning it off within 20 minutes because of the talking.
Right, the dialogue.
Because it's too
impenetrable.
Yeah, it's too much. You have to be focused.
And you don't even get it. I know 20 minutes into Brick, I didn't know what was going on in the movie. I'm like, I don't even understand what they're talking about.
The payoff is so grand if you stick with it, though. Because then the movie does this thing where it simplifies. Like, it's just, then it just becomes you know, whodunit, what happened.
Total film noir meets high school.
Exactly,
awesome.
Which... we'll see how this super... You know, fall movies, just opening this up, September releases are normally, aren't they either a film was so bad that they had to push it back? Isn't it like, you guys would know, like February and September are, you know, no man's land for films. Like nobody...
Yeah, a lot of... Actually, really getting into it is a lot of these films, I think, you see a trend happening where they were made to be sort of an Oscar-type film.
Exactly, exactly.
They screened it and they're like, This isn't October or November where let's release it in September. I agree. You could sort of see them getting better, but very seldom does a gem shoot out of September.
It worries me because I saw Brothers Bloom in 2008, I think in like May, came out.
Speaking of September, my number five actually does come out September 14th, and it is directed by Paul Thomas Anderson, who did There'll Be Blood, amongst other things, Boogie Nights and such. It is called The Master. And it stars Joaquin Phoenix, one of Donnie's favorites, and Philip Seymour Hoffman, also Amy Adams. And there was a lot of controversy about this film. They tried to keep the script and plot under wraps because they believe it is sort of the story of the birth of Scientology. And I guess a lot of Scientologists, because they're so infiltrated in Hollywood, usually will look down on a film or they like to see what's going on with it. So there's a lot of those rumors. They won't say it is. They don't necessarily deny it either. They might just say it's sort of not necessarily Scientology per se, but it's definitely looking at the birth of a new religion.
What's this one called again?
The Master.
Interesting.
Yeah, it looks out there. I don't think it'll be for everybody. It's a little art house from the trailer right off the bat.
And you got a good chance of seeing Amy Adams' boob, so, you know, the more of that.
Sold right there.
She's always naked.
I loved There Will Be Blood, and I hope the Master's on that kind of level, so we'll see. That's my number five. It swings us into our fours. What do you got sitting there, Matt?
Cloud Atlas.
It's at my number four as well. Done, Matt.
Anytime you toss around the name Wachowski, you're going to get my interest piqued, you know? Throw in the director of Run Lola Run, and seriously, I'm there. I believe his name is that Tom Twyker?
Yes, it is.
So, love Run Lola Run. One of my favorite movies of all time.
Yeah, and Cloud Atlas, it comes out October 26th, and it has Tom Hanks in it,
seriously.
Holly Berry, Hugh Grant, Jib Broadbent, and
Hugo Weaving.
And have you seen the trailer for this? It is online. They did not want to release like a normal 2-minute trailer because the movie is so complex.
I believe
it runs, the trailer runs at like 6.5 minutes. It is unbelievable. It has six interwoven storylines that span centuries of time, and the actors are playing different characters in all these different storylines.
So either this is going to be the next Tree of Life, or it's going to be an epic fail. It's one
Ball
of the two.
Movie season. Yeah, I hear you.
I agree. The trailer, it looks very, very ambitious. I hope it can live up to that.
Yeah. If anybody can pull it off, it's that team.
I'm excited for it as well. Definitely, Jawheads, if you have not seeked out the trailer for Cloud Atlas, do yourself a favor. It's awesome.
Yeah, the trailer alone is pretty cool. Tom Hanks.
Nice pick, Matt. Swings us over to Donnie. What do you got sitting at four?
So at four is a movie I don't want to see, and it's Anna Karenina. Only because
I believe
my
it's Anna Karenina.
Whatever. This is America. I'm sick of Keira Knightley making me and my girlfriend see every Keira Knightley movie that takes. Hey, Keira, you know what? Decade's pretty interesting right now. So do a movie that's now, aside from seeing a friend in the end of the world, which she is actually lovely in. So
I'm a fan of Keira Knightley overall. And the good thing about thing about seeing Anna Karenina is you don't have to then read a 1800-page book. You know?
Yeah.
Just sit through about a three and a half hour movie and you're done. You got the story.
Yeah.
I've seen a play version of Anna Karenina here in Chicago, and it was quite powerful. I know my girlfriend, Jen, she's read the book. And, so I'm semi-looking
forward
to it.
Yeah, it's called the greatest love story ever, from what I understand. That's what everyone calls it.
What about Romeo and Juliet?
Oh, it doesn't hold a candle.
Yeah, this is a B-side. This is a B-side. Yeah.
What about Twilight, Breaking Dawn? I mean,
part one or two? I don't.
Yeah, you're right, Matt. You got us there.
I got you there.
All right, so Donnie's number four, Anna Karenina with Keira Knightley, swings us over to my number four, and as mentioned, Cloud Atlas sits right there, Matt. Can't wait for it. Pretty excited for it. Three directors, the Wachowski brothers plus...
Well, they're not the Wachowski brothers anymore.
No, you're right.
It should be noted that they are the Wachowskis.
Yes.
And, you know, hailing from right here in Chicago, one of them did decide to change his gender, and now he's a Wachowski sister.
Oh, no shit.
You
this
didn't
is
know that?
Real. I
Larry became Lana.
He is now Lana.
Is he playing? Is he the lead singer for that Rise Against band, or is that a different? Didn't that happen too?
Yeah, I didn't. I don't know about that.
Yeah. All right. Right on. Yeah. I'm in. Either way.
Me too. You know, more power to him.
So am I. So that was my number four as well. Swings us into our threes, Matt.
At number three, the 23rd spy film in the James Bond franchise, Skyfall. Which has been pushed back a little bit. It's got everybody a little bit nervous. But I think there were a bunch of reasons why they pushed this back that have absolutely nothing to do with the film.
Correct. It was more with the studio being bankrupt. MGM was bankrupt and couldn't produce the film.
Yeah. I mean, I'm really, really excited to see Daniel Craig pull off another turn at bat as James Bond. And he was absolutely phenomenal in Casino Royale. Quantum of Solace, a lot of people said wasn't as good, but third time's a charm. So,
yeah, I agree. And there's rumors that M, who's played by
Judi Dench,
actually dies in this one. Could it be?
It's about time. I mean, what is she, 175 years old?
I mean, I don't think she dies of natural causes, Matt. I mean, someone takes her out.
Well, yeah. You know, good. Who would see that movie? You know, at least she goes out in a blaze of glory.
Right.
This one looks cool. Like you said, the second one was sort of a dud, but this one looks really pretty awesome. The trailer looks awesome.
I'm a fan of the Bond film, so. And if M's got to go, I don't want to see her pass out in her freaking Earl Grey. I want to see her head get blown off. I mean, then that's going to piss off Bond, and there's going to be some serious gadget action, you know?
So. I like it. Skyfall, Matt's number three. Donnie, what do you got sitting there?
This one I know nothing about, but it's interesting. It's called Vamps, starring Alicia Silverstone. There's two things great about this. Vampire, if it's about vampires, which I have no idea, boy, could not be any more later in the popularity range. Well, why not? Let's throw out another vampire movie that nobody wants to see. And two, let's have it star a girl who nobody has said in the same sentence, starring Alicia Silverstone. For about a decade and a half.
At least a decade, yeah.
At least.
Looks like it also stars that Kristen Ritter. She's in Breaking Bad, but she's also in B Next Door in Apartment 23.
Oh, yeah, you know that girl. Well, that movie sounds like it can be awful, and that just gets me excited. Is it about vampires?
No, yeah, it is about vampires. Sigourney Weaver actually makes an appearance in this, too.
It basically, a very short summary says, two female vampires in modern-day New York City are faced with daunting romantic possibilities. Donnie, I'm lined up next to you for this one.
Man, yeah. Boy, oh, man, for those of you sick of every pop culture vampire reference in the last 4 years, here's one more.
Beautiful. I love it. Swing this over to my number three. And at number three, we get serious here. It comes out November 9th. Daniel Day-Lewis teams up with Steven Spielberg for Lincoln.
Yeah, that's your three.
Wait. Vampire Hunter, right?
No, just Lincoln. Does he get off the vampires?
Does he have an axe?
Yeah.
Have you seen the photo of Daniel Day-Lewis as Lincoln?
I have.
It is fantastic.
Yeah.
And according to an article I read, Steven Spielberg says that he did address Daniel Day-Lewis because he gets so into character. He never comes out of it during the entire shooting. So even when they weren't quite shooting, just offset, he would refer to him as Mr. President.
Wow, even Spielberg playing ball with his rules.
You got Daniel Day-Lewis, Sally Field, believe it or not, Joseph Gordon-Levitt again.
Oh, man.
Talk about traveling through time.
Who does he play?
The focus here is on Lincoln's last 4 months of his life while he was politically strategizing the Union's victory in the Civil War.
Does Gordon-Levitt ride a bicycle? Does he, like, hold... He's riding the bike, and then he's holding the Confederate flag and then throws it in a vampire's heart. Like, well, how is that? I'm not so confused.
No, I mean, we got vampires going on here. We got bike messengers.
Yeah.
But no, Lincoln is going to be a serious film.
Wow.
So I'm pumped to see it. I think this could be another Academy Award for Daniel Day-Lewis.
Oh, yeah. Sounds like a shoo-in.
Well, I don't know, man. I don't know. Everybody loves Daniel Day-Lewis. I've never been impressed.
Oh, Matt. Yeah. Oh, bite your tongue.
No, yeah. I won't bite my tongue. I think he's overrated to the ceiling.
My left foot. My left foot.
Well done.
It was an excellent film.
That was well done.
Would this be his fourth score or 7 years? Like, how many Oscars has he won? Because wouldn't it be four?
He's won two.
There Will Be Blood and My Left Foot? Yeah.
Kathy Byrne has said she would watch him sit and watch the grass grow.
Who wouldn't?
I wouldn't.
I'll buy a ticket for that.
I don't know.
Especially if it's weed that's
growing. Listen, everybody out there who has three names, pick two and go with those.
Oh, come on.
Hey, if you want to get creative,
just pick one.
I mean, Cher, Madonna, that's fine.
Trust me. Don't listen to what Matt's saying here.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt, you're Joe Levitt. You're Joe Levitt. Get over yourself.
Yeah. All right. My number three, Lincoln. Matt, we swing it into our twos.
I mean, geez, if you're John Smith, I can understand having a middle name. All right. Life of Pi. This was the... Okay. A little backstory here. My mom is a librarian. She has been since I was a little kid. She is a seriously addicted book pusher. All right.
Okay.
And she recommended this book to me big time. She was like, Matt... You have to read this book. She put it in my hand. She took a copy from her library and said, you can keep this put it in my hands and said, read this book. I thought about you the whole time I read it. This is from my mom. She gave it to me, and I never read it, so I can't wait to watch this movie.
Yeah, if they, or if they make a comic book of it.
That was fantastic. Yeah. So that way you could finally
I got to watch the movie, yes. It was great.
Now, I have not read it either. Again, my girlfriend, very big reader, she read The Life of Pi, loves the book, but what she was really worried about, we were watching the trailer, and she said a lot of the story takes place in the person's mind. It's sort of a fantasy-type movie. Yeah. Now, it's directed by Ang Lee. I think he can handle the subject matter.
I love Ang Lee.
Yeah. I don't know. This is quite interesting. He's on this little boat with a lot of animals out there. I'm psyched to see it for sure.
My mom really... Yeah. Highly recommended this book. So
well, hopefully you guys give it 3.14 Jaws.
I like it.
It's a math joke for...
Yeah, Matt didn't get it.
I know. I got it. It took a second.
It just was, hey, sometimes they're not all good.
It was a joke grenade. Yeah. It took
he'll,
a second to go
off. He'll
catch
it when he's listening back to this. All right, that was Matt's number two. Swing this over to Donnie's number two.
My number two, so I'll preface this with, I'm a big fan of Lauryn Hill being in multiple person singing group doing covers of songs from the 70s. So that's why I'm picking Killing Them Softly.
Really?
Starring Brad Pitt. Ray Liotta, James Gandolfini. I'm not a bro. Apparently, I'm a comedy nerd. But, like, Gandolfini and Liotta is, like, stars of bro films, like Goodfellas. Like, people love that shit.
Wait, that's a bro film?
No, this is just me being an asshole.
I just love the idea that Ray Liotta is teaming up with Brad Pitt in a movie.
Yeah.
And I'm sold right there.
Well, yeah. And then, like, the ultimate gangsters, right? Like, Gandolfini and Liotta, like... That's kind of exciting. I don't know anything about this film, but I like the title. It reminds me of a Fugees song, and that cast is dynamite.
It does look really good.
I wonder if they're killing them softly with their love.
And the the poster I love.
Because they're probably killing them softly with their bullets.
Yeah. Oh, wow. All right.
I love the poster for the film also. I've seen it on the walls of the theater. It's just like a revolver pointed right at you.
Yeah, with the sunglasses over it and the American flag reflected in the shades.
Looks awesome, does it?
It does look pretty cool, but you know the proof is in the pudding. So
no, I'm excited for this one also, Donnie. Well done. I like that pick.
Thank you.
All right, swings us over to my number two. And at number two, I have a Bill Murray film, and it is not a comedy.
Yeah.
Bill Murray is actually going to be playing Franklin Delano Roosevelt in the film Hyde Park on the Hudson. Comes out December 7th. It has Bill Murray, Laura Linney. It's directed by Roger Mitchell. Like I said, Murray plays FDR, and the story actually focuses on a weekend where King George VI comes to his summer home to get America's support for World War II. It's actually based on a 2009 BBC radio play. I've seen the photos, seen the trailer, and Murray, I'm thinking he's going for Oscar here.
Yeah.
You know what? He deserves it. It's sad that he has to break out of comedy in order to get what he deserves for his comedy. But you know what? Good for him.
No,
I think.
Yeah. No SNL alumni has ever won an Oscar. They've been nominated, I think, 9 times. Most recent, Kristen Wiig for Best Screenplay. But yeah, he deserves...
For Bridesmaids?
Bridesmaids, yeah. Yeah. But Ryan, you seem to be like drinking this political Kool-Aid. This president, the election's coming up. You're another president movie. I let's just hope there's not a Herbert Hoover film starring Jordan Joseph Levitt later.
Oh, no.
I think we know number one then for Ryan.
But to be honest,
you mean Joe Levitt?
Right. To be honest, it's the fall movie when you see these kind of presidential stories.
Right.
You know.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
I mean,
sure.
To be honest, but yeah, I love Bill Murray. I guess I was reading too. He hasn't had like a starring role carrying a film since like Broken Flowers.
Sure.
So it's been a while. He's done a lot of supporting roles in the meantime, but he hasn't like flat out been the starring character in a movie for a while.
Right.
So I'm pumped to see this one. Plus him taking on a serious role as FDR, sold.
Yeah, no doubt. I'm sold too. I mean, I love Bill Murray.
I don't know anybody, unless you've worked with him, I don't know anybody who doesn't like Bill Murray. Everything I hear is they don't.
The list of people that we've met who've worked with Bill Murray is actually limited to one, which was Mike Diedrich, who did Ball Hawks.
Right, and narrated his film for him.
And although his brother was much more involved with the project, he said Bill was pretty gracious. So.
Yeah. Well, I'm just basing off this when I heard Dan Aykroyd called him the Murricane as far as working with him on Ghostbusters. So
Yeah.
I'm just talking
shit. I heard Aykroyd say similar things.
Yeah. So we are to our number ones. Matt, what are you really interested to see this fall?
I like the Murricane, though. All right, my number one, seriously, come on, it's The Hobbit. I mean, yeah. I'm a little nervous because now I'm hearing three films.
Yeah.
And seriously, really, come on. That is serious. That's a cash
grab,
right?
That was a book you read in eighth grade, a mini little book, or seventh grade.
It's like, that one book is smaller than any one of the three Lord of the Rings books.
Yeah, I don't get it either.
Maybe it's three movies if each movie is about 60 minutes.
Yeah, seriously.
You're right, yeah.
Okay, that aside, though.
right.
Who amongst us here is not absolutely titanically stoked to see another Peter Jackson Tolkien movie?
And it gives you another reason to take the Lord of the Rings DVDs off of your shelf and rewatch the films and get back to Middle Earth.
And you know I'm going to do it.
Yes, no doubt.
I'm in on that one, too.
Yeah, I agree. That's a slam dunk right there, Matt. Nice pick at number one. Donnie, what are you looking forward to?
I'm
going to
take us home. So my background is comedy. I do comedy, so I have to pick a comedy. The comedy is This Is 40. Now, it's Judd Apatow's, I think the poster says, sort of-ish sequel to Knocked Up.
Right.
So, where it follows his wife's character and Paul Rudd, that couple. It follows them at 40.
The same characters?
Yeah, same characters and same story.
But not the starring characters, Matt. Paul Rudd's.
No,
yeah. Right, yeah. Right.
What worries me is, so I liked, I'm a big Judd Apatow fan because he any interview you see, he always talks about mixing pathos with comedy, which I've aspired to, and I'm now starting to get there, about real emotion and something funny. I saw the film Funny People, and half of it was good, and the other half was him trying to force his real-life kids in a movie, and it was a 2.5-hour comedy, and name the one 2.5-hour comedy you love.
Airplane.
Okay. Is that even that?
No, that's not probably 2.5.
Yeah. Probably it's runs in about
minutes.
An hour and a half.
90 minutes. Yeah. So I'm excited to see, because he read the backlash from Funny People. A lot of people panned it. I still liked it, and it was an attempt. He tried. He laid it all on the table about a story that was funny but with heart. So I'm excited just because of that to see what he's going to do with this sort of-ish sequel.
I think a lot of people really tout him as a genius.
Yeah.
I mean,
I would be one of those people. Yeah. He's really smart. Everything he's been a part of has either been a critical success or a commercial success. So not bad, right?
Yeah. Can't go wrong with that.
Yeah. Either or. Yeah.
So it brings us to my number one. And at number one, you can't go wrong with a Quentin Tarantino film as your number one film you're looking forward to. And on December 25th, he gives us Django Unchained.
A lot of people are really skeptical about this.
You got Jamie Foxx, Leonardo DiCaprio, Christoph Waltz, and I think what really makes me excited here is DiCaprio's actually playing the villain, where we have never really seen him play the bad guy, and he is actually the slave owner that Jamie Foxx's character is trying to get revenge on.
Yeah, that'll actually be exciting.
I mean, it's a spaghetti western. It's Tarantino's take on a spaghetti western. It's a revenge film. It's part Kill Bill, I guess. I love all the actors. Not to mention Don Johnson's got an appearance in here, so I'm sold right there.
I'm pretty much sold. A lot of people are saying blaxploitation on this one, which, you know, I mean, I guess we'll find out. And there's some really heavy hitters in the cast. So
I just read an article with Jamie Foxx where he says that obviously it's sort of like Inglourious Basterds in the sense that it's not taking the history literally, it's not necessarily defacing it in any way or changing it to make it like the subject matter a comedy either. So they do take slavery and just sort of change it up in a Tarantino kind of way, is from what I'm hearing. So I'm interested to see what that is.
Definitely interesting.
Yeah, if Tarantino thinks it's a good idea to make that film, it's probably a good idea to watch that film.
Sure.
Well said.
Yeah. So those are our 15 films that we are looking forward to this fall. If we missed one, Jawheads, and you have Twitter pulled up at home, shoot us a tweet, at CinemaJaw. Let us know what movie you're looking forward to, or just what a goof Donnie is. What we're going to do here, Matt, is we're going to take a break. When we come back, we have Donnie versus yourself in movie trivia.
Ooh.
And DVD review for you of WE and a cinema war looking at the career of Liam Neeson.
Oh, and did we hit the Morgan Spurlock film yet?
No, we got that coming up too.
Yeah.
Holy cow. So jam-packed, we'll be right back on Cinema Jaw.
Hi, I'm Matt Kay with a Cinema Jaw movie fact. The upcoming James Bond film Skyfall will mark the first time that an Academy Award-winning director, Sam Mendes for American Beauty, will direct a James Bond movie. And that is your CinemaJaw movie fact.
And we are back on CinemaJaw. Donnie Rodriguez of the Wood Sugar sitting in on the entire episode, having a blast here with our fall movie preview.
Hell yeah.
And it brings us to a segment we call
Cinema War.
And Cinema War works like this. Me and Matt each week battle on a subject, and we are battling because we get 20 seconds of jaw time to rant and rave on whatever we want, whoever wins this Cinema War. And the guest, Donnie Rodriguez, this week gets to play judge and jury and tell the jawheads listening at home who he thinks won the Cinema War.
Jace.
Now, Liam Neeson has another Taken film coming out, Taken 2. So we decided we'd look at Liam Neeson. Reno, tell the jawheads at home what today's Cinema War topic is.
Today's Cinema War topic, with the movie Taken coming out, is Liam Neeson becoming a B-movie star, or is he still on the A-list? Rye, you'll be fighting for still on the A-list. Matt, you'll be fighting he's dropped to the B-list. Let the Cinema War begin.
Oh, baby. Has Mr. Neeson ever dropped on a slippery slope? The great man who once played Schindler is now set to star in, wait for it, Taken 2! What?!
Matt, Liam Neeson built his career by being versatile, reliable, and just plain awesome. He's an actor that has such great films as Schindler's List, Michael Collins, and Nell all under his belt. He is just in a action state of mind right now.
You'd think after the first time the kid was taken, they would set some security cameras up. You know, Rye, you're right. Liam is a good actor. His greatest role, convincing casting agents that he has a lick of talent. His one note is long overplayed.
Boy, oh boy, man. I got to tell you, many actors, though, go through a period where they get typecast for a bit of time because of a successful movie they were in. And that's what seems to happen with Taken, as lately he's been in similar movies, but it'll pass.
I don't know, man. I think Liam is very overrated, and frankly, he's got a way better run as a B-list geek magnet in roles like Batman Begins, Narnia, Clash/Wrath of the Titans, and his serious work is over. If I was Liam, I would look forward to more lines for autographs at Comic-Con than I would to award show after parties.
You're crossing the line here, Matt. Come on. I mean, he took advantage of his time as a so-called action star here, but that does not mean he lost his acting ability. I am confident that he will turn in more serious roles in the coming years.
I see Battleship 2, Taken 3, and the A-Team sequels in his future, and the only Oscar in his future is Oscar Schindler in Schindler's List 2.
Oh, man. He will not stoop there, Matt. Liam Neeson has been acting since 1979. He has played several different kinds of roles. He is already set to star in Third Person, co-starring Naomi Watts and directed by Paul Haggis, who gave us Crash. While the last few films have not been great A-list quality, they have been fun and made good money at the box office. Cut the man some slack. After all, he is still an A-list actor. Whew. Boy, oh boy. Every week on Cinema War, we can never, never come to an agreement. So we throw it over to Donnie Rodriguez, playing judge and jury this week. What'd you think of this Cinema War?
Oh, man. Well, you know, both of you made compelling arguments. However, the only A-list Liam Neeson would make is a-hole for awful sequels. I got to go with Matt Kubinski on this one. I love B's, B cups, B stings, but B, most importantly, I like Matt's argument. He better get a new agent.
Seriously.
Matt, well done again. You are on a roll with these Cinema Wars.
I know.
And, of course, that win earns you 20 seconds to rant and rave on whatever you want. Go
right
for it.
Speaking of the B-list, let's talk about the C-list, and that's the third name. You got three names. That's one too many. Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Daniel Day-Lewis. You are Dan Lewis and Joe Levitt. What's another one? Sarah Jessica Parker and the kid from
Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
Simba.
John Thomas. You're John Thomas. Get over yourself.
Yeah, Jen Hewitt.
Well, Matt Scott Kubinski.
Not even close to my middle name.
I tried.
We'll roll with it.
Hey, before you get to trivia, yourself versus Donnie, in name the movie from the cast and year movie trivia. This is going to be tough.
Boy.
Before we get there, I have we have a couple DVD reviews for you. I have W.E., directed by Madonna. The film tells the story of King Edward VIII and Wallace Simpson, the American woman he abandons the throne for. You may remember the story, actually, Matt, from the beginning of the King's Speech, as King Edward VIII is the stutterer's older brother, and he leaves the throne to him.
Sure.
The movie actually flip-flops back and forth from that story to modern day as we meet a modern day woman also named Wallace who is going to an auction house to see some of the old items of King Edward's and Wallace Simpson. The story was actually there, Matt. They had it right, but the way it was told failed to scoop us up in the romance of it all. Not to mention, there were a couple of oddly placed dance sequences and a painful song sung by Madonna over the closing credits. I give her credit for trying. It's not terrible, but I would not recommend either. Skip W.E., Rye the Movie Guy's grade, two Jaws, grade of a C, C plus at best.
She got a little too ambitious after her marriage to Guy Ritchie, huh?
Well, this is her second film she directed. I forget what the name of the first one. It's no good either. But
yeah, it's like from 2000.
Like I say, she actually did partly write this as well. And the whole fictional part of this modern-day story of them going to the auction house really works as an idea to move the story along. But I don't know. It somehow missed as it unfolded. It could have been done better, I think, in the right hands. But the story actually... You felt the presence. There was something there that could have been told.
Yeah, Papa Don't Preach sounds like her second time after Like a Virgin was also not as good. So those are two Madonna music references.
Way to express yourself, Donnie.
And for the win, Rye the Movie Guy.
Nicely done.
Yes. FTW.
That's not our only DVD review. Matt, you caught something.
You guys left me breathless. Oh! Yeah, I did. I saw Morgan Spurlock's, I don't know if it's his latest, but it's very
recent.
It is. It's his latest. This was called Comic-Con Episode 4, A Fan's Hope. And I think Spurlock shines a light on geekhood and tries to explain what draws 150,000 nerds to San Diego Comic-Con every year in his new film. And the title's a little... cheesy, kind of lame. And the documentary really doesn't delve that deep. The five characters we do explore, though, they're worth seeing, and it was a film with heart. But I think a thing like Comic-Con, it definitely deserves a little bit more than just 4 days worth of filming can produce. This thing is so epic and so hard to capture. They should have done it over a number of seasons, a number of Comic-Cons, and tried to really get the full scope.
Or maybe just different fan conventions. Other, you know, it doesn't always just have to be the San Diego
one.
He could have went to New York and C2E2 here in Chicago, maybe.
I totally agree. They in that sense that they failed. All in all, though, it's a great film and definitely one that a fan such as myself or a geek, you know, should show his significant other that or the layman that might not be into fandom to try to get them to understand what it's all about. So it's a good start. I'd like to see something a little bit more in depth. And from Spurlock, I was expecting a lot more.
How many Jaws?
I'd say this is a 3-jaw film, especially if you're a fan. I'm giving this a B+.
Ah, well done.
Yeah.
Catch that on Netflix?
Actually, I got this one on iTunes. It's available on demand and on iTunes right now, so...
Nice. Yeah. Well done. And this is coming off of a weekend where you were just at Chicago Comic Con.
Yes, I'm so glad you brought
that up. And you met Mr. Stan Lee.
I met the man, yeah. If you go to my Facebook page right now, I just updated my profile pic. It's me and Stan the Man. And let me tell you, that was a treat. That was seriously like, I'm way too young to have a bucket list, but that was a bucket list item for me.
Yeah.
And yeah, I have to meet the man. I think, honestly, it might have been on his bucket list. Because that's
I think the with the quote originally was, with great power comes great responsibility to take a Facebook pic with a dude who has his own movie podcast. Is the original.
Yes, he was
a soothsayer. He could see a clairvoyant one.
They edited it down for brevity's sake, but yes, that was the original quote. So, yeah,
awesome.
Dude, I met Stan Lee.
And did you meet Jim Terry at the Comic Fest also?
I was with
no
Jim
mention
Terry.
Of that. Come on.
You know what? We got to have Jim Terry back on again soon because he's got a really cool project coming out with James O'Barr, who is the creator of The Crow.
Nice.
So we got to have that guy on soon to shill his project.
I like it. I like
yes,
it.
He was gracious enough to let me hang at his booth and keep my bag there. And I even bought some original art that him and James O'Barr collaborated on. So it was a big geek moment for me.
Sounds geeky.
It's huge.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
Huge.
All right. Enough of that. All right. We're done with the comics con, Matt. Brings us to trivia. Each week we play trivia here on Cinema Jaw. Matt versus the guest. This time it's Donnie Rodriguez.
Thank you.
And it works a little something like this. This week we are playing guess the movie from the cast and the year. That's all you get.
Okay.
And you got to guess the movie. It goes back and forth. There are steals. And if you get stuck on one, you do get a rescue. You got to yell, "Rescue me, Reno." And our wonderful producer, Steve Mrazek, has clues to all the questions. He'll help you out. Now, you're our guest. Donnie, you want to go first or let Matt go first?
Well, just to clarify, and you can edit this, can I steal mid or I have to wait till he misses?
Yes, after he misses.
Okay, cool. I will defer to Stan, because I can smell the Stan Lee on him. Still, I will sling it over web style to Matt.
Excelsior.
All right. Question number one, the cast. Harrison Ford, Jonathan Rhys Davies, Sean Connery.
You mean Jonathan year? Davies?
The year? Yes, Davies.
Just being called back. Cinema
the
John.
Year? 1989.
Oh, jeez.
American Graffiti.
Now, the year is 1989, Matt. You got to pay attention 70s. To the year. Those you got a chance for a steal movie. Here, Donnie.
It is the third installment of the Indiana Jones film without the kid who says, "Indy, cover your heart." So the third one. What's that one called?
We'll give it to him. It is called The Last Crusade, but we'll give you it. It is the third Indiana Jones.
Cover your heart, Indy.
Matt, American Graffiti. That was
short
embarrassing.
It was short
Jesus. Round. All right.
Sorry.
Question number two over to Donnie.
Thank you.
Toni Collette, Steve Carell, Greg Kinnear, and Alan Arkin, the year 2006.
I will tell you the movie theater I saw this film at. It was the Barrington 30, and I was dating a girl who ultimately cheated on me but told me she loved me at that movie theater when we saw Little Miss Sunshine.
That is correct. Long form, I guess that was.
Yeah.
2-0, Donnie is just crushing Matt at this point. Question number three. Are you ready, Matt? The cast. George Clooney, Tilda Swinton, Tom Wilkinson, Sidney Pollack. The year, 2007.
Say the cast one more time.
Oh, jeez. George Clooney, Tilda Swinton, Tom Wilkinson, Sidney Pollack. Came out in 2007.
Up in the air?
You do have a rescue. Donnie, you got a chance for a steal here and blow this thing wide open.
Tilda won an Oscar.
She did.
But I will not get the name of the movie right because I didn't see it. So, yeah, I can't even guess. Oh, I didn't. Well, whatever.
Michael Clayton.
Michael Clayton. That's what it was, yeah.
It's okay, Donnie. You're in full control here as you're up 2-0 and this question is over to you. Question four, the cast. Dustin Hoffman, Catherine Ross, and Bancroft. The year, 1967. You do have a rescue.
Wait, no. Hold on. I can get this. The Graduate?
3-0, Donnie. It's a slaughter at this point. We throw this one over to Matt. Question five. Here we go. The cast. Guy Pearce, Kim Basinger, Russell Crowe, Kevin Spacey. The year, 1997.
He's got this.
Rescue Me, Reno.
Rescue Me, Reno. We got Guy Pearce, Kim Basinger, Russell Crowe, Kevin Spacey, 1997. What's that movie?
And your clue is The Night Owl.
And your clue is The Night Owl by Reno. Where does he come up with these?
The Night Owl?
One too many shots at Jameson before we started the jaw here, Matt.
Matt, you got to get this one because I'm going to get it if you don't.
And I may look young, but I'm getting older here, Matt, so we need an answer pretty soon.
Memento? I mean, I have no idea.
Donnie, take this one away.
Well, it's interesting.
What theater did you see it in?
It's interesting that Matt asked Reno, which is about 250 miles away from where this was set, and it is L.A. Confidential.
4-0. Donnie, you brought his A game today.
I did. And C game, condescension. Sorry.
Question number 6 is over to Donnie. He could go up 5-0. Ellen Page, Michael Cera, Jason Bateman, the year 2007.
Well,
you do have a rescue if you need
apparently
it.
We are keeping this.
I know this one, man.
In the city region, because this one is Juno.
5-0. He might be able to shut Matt out here. 5-0. And question number 7 is over to Matt. John Cusack, Jack Black, Lisa Bonet, Joan Cusack, the year 2000. You have no more rescues either.
John Cusack.
Jack Black, Lisa Bonet, Joan Cusack.
Joan's in every movie he does.
But I'll tell you, Lisa Bonet definitely isn't.
No. 2000. I don't know. Gross Point Blank. I got nothing.
This is sick. Oh, this man is the worst Matt's ever brought to the trivia. Donnie, take her away.
Aside from the Brothers Bloom is my number one favorite movie. My number two favorite movie is set in Chicago at a record store called High Fidelity. Championship Records is the name of the record store.
I still have yet to see High Fidelity.
6-0.
Guy movie
this is
of all
embarrassing
time.
Oh my goodness. You can shut him out here and go 7-0 as this question is over to Donnie. Yeah. The crowd is cheering for you if you can't hear him in the front bar. Donnie, the cast.
They're singing Where's You Call Me Maybe on karaoke.
The cast. Here
terrible.
You go. Warren Beatty, Diane Keaton, Jack Nicholson. The year 1981. You do have a rescue.
Rescue me, Reno.
Rescue me, Reno. Last question. Warren Beatty, Diane Keaton, Jack Nicholson. The year was 1981.
And your clue is communists.
This is only a guess because this is a Jack Nicholson movie I haven't seen and I want to see. I'm going to get this wrong. Communists, but I thought it before Reno said Chinatown.
Ooh.
Not even close.
Ooh, Matt, you got a chance for a steal and to save face here and not get shut out for the first time on Cinema Job.
You have to reread it.
Oh, boy.
No, that you have to.
Warren Beatty,
yeah.
Diane Keaton, mm-hmm. Jack Nicholson, the year 1981. The clue from Reno was communists. This is really embarrassing.
Is it... who is the...
well, we've already counted out the Chinamen.
Yeah,
so
yeah. Just... McCarthy? Was that a fan?
Wow. It does remain a shutout. Unbelievable. We were
what
looking
was
for
it?
Reds. Reds.
Reds.
Warren Beatty,
yeah,
classic.
Yeah.
Wow. It ends in an absolute slaughter. Pick
if
up the
you
pieces.
Had said not Marlboro Lights, but Marlboro.
Right.
I would have
Cincinnati.
Known.
Well done, Donnie. You absolutely slaughtered the guy. 6-0. I
ouch.
Mean, it was just.
Wow.
A shutout. There hasn't been a shutout in a long
this,
time.
This was my wheelhouse.
You kicked so, my ass.
Hey,
we did have a jawbreaker just in case there was a tie. Better Warren Beatty film, Dick Tracy or Bullworth? What do you got? Donnie.
Oh, the younger me says Dick Tracy because I
that
like
is absolutely incorrect.
Yellow,
it was Bullworth.
But the older me who understands politics and comedy, Bullworth.
All right. But the real jawbreaker was this, in case it was a tie. Age of Warren Beatty. Closest to. What do you got, Matt?
68.
Oh, at least 74.
Give that one to Donnie. 75.
Yeah.
75.
Holy crap.
Matt, you brought your F game today, buddy.
I sure did.
Wow.
I brought my J game for Jameson.
Yeah. Hashtag fail.
Yeah. Big
boy,
time.
Oh boy.
Two names.
This has been a great Jaw. One more time for the Jawheads listening at home. Where can they find the Wood Sugars material?
Check me out, well, personally at hahajk.com/comedians/Donnie Rodriguez. Or my lovely group at woodsugars.com.
We always got to thank our sponsors, Matt.
Yeah, thanks to the new 400.
And also to MoviePass. Check out MoviePass. Exciting things going on over there. Unlimited movies for one price. And also to our wonderful producer, Steve Mrazek.
The best in the biz.
Sure is. Till next week, check us out on Facebook.
Follow us on Twitter.
And keep on jawing about the movies.
Bye.